You two on the Danny Lakey Show around the country on Triple M and 133.53. A Sydney man is in the fight of his life over his Lamborghini's offensive number plate. But how offensive is it? Top Sydney barrister has gotten into a legal battle of his own over the offensive number plate on his bright yellow Lamborghini, which reads LGOPNR. 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 Leg opener.
Oh, no.
It's your classic phrase without
you
vowels.
You can't be having that on your car.
Can't have leg opener on your yellow Lambo?
I would say you cannot have leg opener. That's very offensive.
Well, offensive to who?
I mean, you can think it, but doesn't need to be plastered on your bright yellow Lambo.
Look, sometimes a car needs to come with instructions. If you're unsure what to feel when you look at this man who's not the best looker in the world in his yellow Lamborghini with his tiny penis, sometimes you may need a little number plate to force the agenda. Peter Lavak said most people would never connect the dots and realise his number plate was cheekily saying leg opener. But at least one person did, in fact, connect those dots, and soon Transport New South Wales was called for his plates to be removed. Transport NSW gave him 18 days to change his number plate, writing in a letter that they determined these plates could be considered offensive and must be returned. But Mr. Lavak fought for his right to keep the number plates and challenged the letter in his local court on September 1st. He argued it was a free speech issue. And I tend to agree with him in a way, and I'm trying to keep my biases out of it when I see the picture of this like 60-year-old man who's obviously tried very, very hard in life, because let's face it, without the law degree and without the Lamborghini, he's batting in a different league of soccer, isn't he?
Imagine if that was on some like cruddy 1990s car.
Oh, you couldn't pull that off. You couldn't pull that off.
Leg opener.
No, it needs to be. The thing is, there's an element of truth to it. You can't hate Mr. Lavak for the facts. There are a small percentage of men and women that would open their legs for a man in a Lamborghini. That's a fact of life. Now, it's the other 99.9%. that may take umbrage with the issue. He said, I resent anyone who's trying to violate my freedom of speech and expression. The number plates are meant to be humorous, tongue-in-cheek, funny, and entertaining. And if someone's open their legs in their spare time, they can do it just because I drive a Lamborghini. Look, it's one for the ages, and I've got to be careful because it's still in the courts. So I don't know if we've got a verdict just yet, but I'm very keen and waited with bated breath to see the result of said hearing.
Are there certain rules around what you can and can't have on a number plate?
How do you draw a line in the sand, you know? I think everyone has got to be on a case-by-case merit. Like you said before, you can't have a Suzuki Swift with leg opener, but yellow Lamborghini maybe on the other hand.
It's fine.
There's
you obviously can't
it.
Have swear words and all that on there.
No, you can't.
Kids reading it.
You can't have the swear words.
Acceptable.
Well, that's it. You couldn't have F-U-C-K, but could you have F-C-K? You know, you take a vowel out of it all of a sudden.
You probably would get away with it as well.
I've seen people get away with things on their cars before, and I'm quite liberal when it comes to what's on a car, whether it be a number plate, a bumper sticker, or the wicked vans. You have a lot of wicked vans getting around the country with very hilarious graphics and phrases, but they soon put a stop to that. One I saw the other day, number plate, and this wasn't even a personalised plate. This is just how the cards fell for the man. 1VB, 1BJ. Victorian plate. How good's that?
That is
How
gold.
Good's that?
You'd be loving that if you landed that one.
1BB, 1BJ. There's a
great
classic.
Arvo for the lads.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think anyone's got a problem with it. Or you'd hope not. And on 133.53, what have you seen on the car?
I've seen Dr. Poo. Now, I'm hoping that he's some type of poo doctor. Or, like, let's hope he's not just into poo.
Yeah, it smells to me like a fecal transplant scientist, one would hope. But
I hope so.
Well, even still, can a man have Dr. Poo on his number plates? I think that's all right. I think it passes the taste test. I saw a hilarious bumper sticker, and 133.53, have you seen a hilarious bumper sticker as well? Not just the number plates. This one's good. This is not on the nose at all. It was, help, .. Grandpa farted, and we can't get out. Classic. I mean, that's
classic
just fun,
gag.
Isn't it?
Windows locked.
This is fun. There was one that was a bit on the nose for me. It was a wicked van, and it was it said, save a mouse, eat a pussy. Now, I thought that might have been a little on the tough side.
I thought you, out of all people, would love that one.
Well, you've got to think of the children at some point. Everyone's got their hard limits. But 133.53, what was on the car? Take Wicked Vans, license plates, and the bumper stickers. What have you seen? Did you like it? Does it pass the test in 2020? We'll get the calls on the air next on the Danny Lakey Show.
What's happening?
The Danny Lakey Show on Triple M.
Around the country on the Danny Lakey Show on Triple M, 133353. What was on the car? Comes off the back of a Sydney man in the fight of his life over his Lamborghini's offensive number plates. His Lamborghini says LGOPNR, leg opener without the vowels. And one look at this man in his yellow Lamborghini, I'm already making judgments that this man has worked very hard for a long time to become a lawyer so he can earn enough money to buy a Lamborghini so he can sleep with women. And I just, it doesn't sit comfortably with me that we take away LGOPNR just because the New South Wales Transport think that a few children may be offended from time to time.
This man,
he wants open legs. It's all that this man has ever requested in his life. And I'm on his side. I think that's exactly where we draw the line. And we know in legal terms, we set precedents. We draw the line at leg opener. Anything above that, we stop. Anything before leg opener, we allow.
I'm surprised you don't want him to not have it so you can chuck it on the van.
Can you imagine?
Imagine that, the furthest thing from a leg opener.
My $3,000 little shit box. Yeah, the leg opener.
This is my van.
Yeah, no. I drive a van.
No, no.
Nah. A couple coming through on the Danny Lakey Show Instagram in terms of what was on the back of the license plate. On Da Doll was one of them. O-N-D-A-D-O-L. One was Doll Check. One was 696969. These are quite lower class license plates. I like saying with a bit more edge and a bit more thinking. Peter from Sydney, he rang in. He had a bumper sticker that belonged to a Holden Barina saying, when I grow up, I want to be a Commodore. I mean, they don't all have to be smarty either.
Classic. Oh, that's cute. I kind of like that.
It's good fun. Joe in Campbelltown. Hello.
Hey, mate. How you going?
Good. You got a number plate that you've seen?
Yeah, a couple of years back, I called on a customer and he had this really nice car in there. The number plate was BOX. Space
DR,
box doctor. He was a gynecologist.
Great, the box doctor.
And
I've heard about the box doctor's reputation. He's the best gyno in town. And that's
he likes looking into things.
Yeah, great. This is a man who knows how to advertise in a tasteful way. And if I ever had any sisters, I'd send them to the box doctor. Yeah, second to the box doctor. I'll send them to the box doctor. Yeah.
Send it to the box doctor.
Yeah, everyone. And it's a public service announcement that no matter where you live, make the interstate trip to go and see the box doctor next time you need a scraping.
God.
Troy in Brisbane, hello.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, hey. You seen a license plate?
Yeah, mate. I actually bought one for my ex-missus for a Hyundai Get saying, me laid. So when you read the whole back of the car, it said, Hyundai gets me laid.
Layers to that one.
Genius from Troy.
Did she get it straight away? Did she understand that?
No, she took her ages to realise. She was a blonde, so, you know, not saying too much about blondes and that, but she ended up selling her Hyundai Gets and got, you know, the Bogan car of them all, Commodore, and I've got the number plate sitting in my workshop now, so, you know, and everyone's like, why do you have the number plates? I was like, mate, they were for a Hyundai Gets.
Oh, you're great.
And that, when they actually think about it, they go, that is pretty clever.
Yeah.
They cost me $4,000, but, you know, it was well worth it because, you know, it made everyone laugh.
Well, it's the most intelligent thing that Troy has ever thought of. And I think it's one of the great play on words. And they will be sold again one day for more than $4,000. Don't you forget about that one, Troy boy. Andy in Sydney on 133353. You sent a bumper sticker.
Yeah, well, I drive trucks and, if you know, on the back of the trailers, you have the little yellow reflective sticker that says do not overtake turning vehicle.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
Yep. Right, okay. So I got a couple of stickers made up in the same style, yellow reflective backing and a black lettering. One of them was saying do not overtake overturning vehicle. But on the other one, I needed something to match on the other side of the trailer. So I got them to make up another one exactly the same style. That said, and if you do know the stickers that are also on trailers that say, if you can't see my mirrors, I can't see you.
I've seen it.
Classic, smart.
But, okay, so I got, if you can see my mirrors, show us your tits.
Andy.
Yeah, nice. It's classic. It's classic Andy. It's classic. There's a few things I like about this. One, that he gave us 3G-rated stickers to warm up with. Mm-hmm. Secondly, there's a bit of humour involved, and it's true. If you can't see the mirrors, then a boob flash is fine. And people will cry, "Oh, sexist, toxic, boys' club." As long as we're fine for a female truck driver to also have.
There's always the calls for the flasher trucker.
Yeah, exactly. There are plenty of women out there with a bumper sticker saying, "If you can see my mirrors, show us your peen."
No.
There's plenty
I've
of them.
I've never once seen that on the roads.
Plenty, there's plenty. And on the highways, and on the Hume. Oh, yeah. I'll talk about this multi that didn't get up over the weekend next.
The Danny Lakey Show on Triple M.
The Danny Lakey Show on Triple M, the moment that, well, that I've been waiting for.
Footy tipping, the ultimate in pretending to work at work. And, up until recently, the one person keeping Lakey from the top of the company tipping table was unknown.
Who's first place?
Some idiot called Knackers, whoever that is.
But now, we know just who Knackers is.
Knackers!
No, I'm in Traralgon, mate.
Knackers on top with 107 correct AFL tips. Danny Lakey second with 105. I've been prepping for this for 17 weeks, ever since the AFL season resumed.
No, I'm a very keen tipster. I've been doing it since probably about 8 or 9. I've been paying a lot of attention to the footy game. When each game starts, I'll be having a look on there to see who tipped what. And
yes,
if you tip the same as what I do, then I'll be very happy.
The top of the table clash. The final round. One game left tonight. Pies, power. Who will win the plastic pitcher of lemonade for the entire table? Or whatever the prize is. What is it? Oh, $1,500. Okay, that. Yes. Knackers versus Lakey. Exclusively on Triple M.
Now, I don't have too much going on in my life during footy season, apart from footy. And I've taken this footy tipping very seriously. I entered the NRL and the AFL company-wide footy tipping competitions at the start of the year. My NRL knowledge isn't as up to scratch as my AFL. I quickly realised that I was behind the pack and I just need to put all my eggs in the AFL basket. It's been me and Knackers pretty much neck and neck at the top of the ladder all year. $1,500 for the winner. We spoke to Knackers last week, and I was two tips off the pace leading into the final round with 9 games to go. I needed to pull a rabbit out of a hat. And I can tell you that this weekend so far, minus the game that's just been played, I pulled a perfect round. 8 from 8.
Incredible from you.
Trying to decide where my upsets were going to go, what Knackers was going to be tipping. Do I dare to be different from him? Knowing full well that if he pulls off a tip, it's game over. Knackers was 7 from 8. He chose the Gold Coast Suns to beat the Hawks. I took it by the balls. The Hawks got up, baby! I'm only 1 point behind Knackers, leading into this final game that has just been played. I don't know the result between Port Adelaide and Collingwood. And Knackers joins us on the line. Good evening, Knackers.
Good evening, Danny. Yes, it has been the week that has finally come. It felt like an eternity. And yes, I probably realised after about 15 minutes that Gold Coast decision was an absolute failure.
Yeah, the Hawks got off to a big start and I was feeling very happy with myself. I've played a perfect tipster's final round up until now. It's classic second position chasing down first for the $1,500 ultimate cash prize. Now, I haven't looked at who you tipped, nor do I know the result between the Port Adelaide Power and the Collingwood Magpies. May I ask you who you selected to win tonight's game? Not who did win. Who did you select tonight out of Port Adelaide and Collingwood?
Me? I selected Port Adelaide. I thought top of the ladder, they want to get the minor premiership. Collingwood, it's so-so over the last few weeks, so I was stuck with the Power.
Yeah, great. Now, I thought that Knackers would select the Power. They were the overwhelming favourites. I knew that to have any chance, I had to go the underdog. I had to go the Maggies. My concern was, did Knackers know that I was obviously going to tip the Magpies because that's what I needed to do? And then would Knackers then just tip the Magpies just to block me? And I thought, no, he doesn't have the balls. He doesn't have the balls for it. He never would. Did you consider doing that, Knackers, or have you been playing your own game?
It's funny you say that because I was thinking that during the day. I'm thinking, I reckon he's going to pick the Pies, but if I do it, then I thought, well, if I did do it, he's probably going to end up picking Port and making me look like an absolute idiot. But, yeah. I mean, as you say, you have nothing to lose in this one. It's come down to the final game, so you just got to basically do a Hail Mary, so to say.
It's a Hail Mary. The stage is set. Everything I've done in this final round, I couldn't have done any better. Do I, Stephen Bradbury, the company-wide footy tipping at the last moment, Shoey Louie, please read out the score of the game? Because if Port Adelaide won tonight, I'm home and... Knackers is home and hosed. If Collingwood won tonight, I have pulled off one of the great come-from-behinds in the final round of the footy tips. The score, please, Shoey.
Okay. Collingwood, 7 goals, 3:45. Port Adelaide, 9 goals, 7:61. Yeah! Knackers for the win. Lakey in second place, my friend. You should see his face, Knackers. He is disappointed.
Damn it. I really thought there might have been an upset on the cards tonight.
I wish that this is actually a video call. I wanted to see your reaction. That would have been hilarious.
Oh, we are filming in the Danny Lakey studios right now. Maybe we'll put a little something up on the Instagram. Damn it. See, I made this celebration music in my own time today because I thought that I'd be playing it for me. If I knew Knackers would, I wouldn't have bothered.
Enjoy the sweet sounds of success, mate.
Well done, Knackers. Well, thank you very much, mate.
It has been. And I actually did a bit of quick math. Pretty much both of us to get almost three quarters of all games right. It's a very good effort. I might as well say, the person that won the entire thing on the Footy Tips website got 121. That is incredible.
So we were six off the pace in terms of the whole nation, which still isn't bloody bad. I mean,
What's
happening? The Danny Lakey Show on Triple M.
Around the country on Triple M, it is the Danny Lakey Show on 133.53. After 11 o'clock tonight, the fast food baby name game prize up for grabs. Right now, sad news, SBS has pulled the plug on South Park after 23 years. SBS has officially decided to cancel the airing of South Park after broadcasting the irreverent cartoon for 23 years. One can only assume it's because it's all available on Netflix and online now. I mean, who's literally just sinking their teeth into a weekly episode of South Park on free-to-air television? Times have changed. Seems that the public broadcaster wants to switch focus to original Aussie content on SBS Viceland instead of licensing the American animated sitcom geared towards adults. The edgy, irreverent, and often controversial series broke new ground when SBS premiered the cult phenomenon in the late 90s, opening Australian audiences up to a type of humour we'd never experienced before. I remember back in 98, it was all the rage. And I was only grade 5, and only some of the kids in school were allowed to watch South Park. Like the kids were like parents that didn't really seem to care much, like the Darrow kids. They'd always be chatting about it. And my parents wouldn't like that. They wouldn't even let me watch The Simpsons back in the day. And so I never quite knew too much about South Park over the years. But I always remember thinking, oh, God, like, what goes on SBS late at night? Ooh, who gets to watch this kind of stuff? And SBS has gone down. I'm going to say it. SBS has gone down the shitter.
Oh, you can't say that.
I can. It's the public broadcaster. Because I remember 15, 20 years ago on SBS, you know what it used to stand for? Sex and bloody soccer. They'd have the Premier League.
What? That literally was what it was?
On the streets. Oh. On the streets.
I was going to say, surely not for a respectable broadcast.
They would have Premier League on, and when it wasn't Premier League soccer, it was sex. It was French erotica. It was German smut. There was all sorts. There were subtitles and boobs.
Oh, and you were loving that as like an 11-year-old boy.
Oh, my God. I couldn't get enough. That was my first porn. That was my first porn. I'd say more.
SBS was your first porn.
I'd say more like 13, 14. And this is no word of a lie. I would get so excited. Like, it would be midweek, right? And my parents would say, oh, Danny, this weekend, me and your mum are going out to dinner with some friends. So you're going to have to babysit your brothers on Friday night. And immediately my mind went to,
SBS. Great.
I'll get my younger brothers. I'll get my younger brothers in bed. Me, SBS, no one else home. It's going to be great. I'd go straight to the TV guide. I'd look through. There'd be, I forget the show. Someone will be able to name it. It was like all these cartoon characters sort of, anyway, that doesn't matter. I had to get through that first. It was sort of rude cartoon. But then I think from 10:25 onwards, Erotic Tales. That was what it's called. Erotic Tales. There was one.
You're a sick pup.
There was one where, like, this French man, he ordered, like, this doll online, and it came, and he ended up, like, falling so in love with his sex doll that he thought it was a real person. I remember that one. There was one where there was, like, this ginger lady called Angela. Oh, she was gorgeous. She had perfectly symmetrical nipples. And I saw this at about 11 o'clock at night, and it changed my life. And my parents, they wouldn't get home until, like, one in the – it was – honestly, it can't be just, you didn't.
You're making this out like this was like the best family vacation you've ever had.
It wasn't a vacation. It was just they were going out. They were out for dinner, and I, as a 13-year-old kid, got to explore my mind and SBS with this French erotica. It was the most exciting time. Take me back. And for Monday memories, just like last week, where you weren't keen to talk to Sydney 2000 Olympic memories with me, I want to chat about late night SBS memories.
10 o'clock tonight.
Late night SBS memories.
Do you have any saucy memories from SBS when you were a kid? Call up and reminisce about the people's porn before there was porn.
You know I like to fire up the old Volkswagen on 133353. What late night gear did you have on SBS? Does it still happen today? I don't think so. Not in this day and age. If you got any SBS memories, give us a call. 133353.
The Danny Lakey Show on Triple M.
It's the Danny Lakey Show around the country on Triple M. What are your late night SBS memories?
10 o'clock tonight.
Late night SBS memories.
Do you have any saucy memories from SBS when you were a kid? Call up and reminisce about the people's porn before there was porn.
There was nothing more exciting than knowing you got the TV to yourself, your parents weren't home. Friday night, Saturday night, 10:30 is when it kicked off on SBS about 15 years ago, and you'd have the independent erotica playing. This was before the days of pornography, and this was what a 15-year-old boy had to do to get by.
I wish I could join in with memories for you like the 2000 Olympics, but we didn't have SBS in New Zealand, so I can't.
You're missing out.
Yeah, I am missing out.
And that explains so much why your growth was stunted as a teenager. Everyone needed the University of SBS to get them through. Richie in Sydney, you got an SBS late night memory?
Yeah, mate. So after watching some of that saucy stuff you've just been talking about, this crazy German fella comes on with some glasses and one of those exact little Nazi hats that you'd see back in the 30s and start doing live autopsies on human bodies, male and female, pulling testicles out, opening up breasts, pulling out spleens, cutting heads off. And it was like a big wax thing along the face so you couldn't identify the person. Man, one thing I like, you know, your ligament that runs from your thumb runs all the way through your body to your big toe. Like, it was an eye-opening experience.
Wow.
You couldn't stop watching it for like 13 weeks.
Yeah, great. I can't say that I ever had the treat of watching German autopsy, but it sounds like a hoot. What era are we talking here that there was the German autopsy?
Well, I guess that would have been probably late 90s, mate. I would have been sort of 21, 22.
Oh, just before my time. My wheelhouse was more like 2002 to 2007, so I must have just missed the boat on that. But
mate, YouTube will be able to sort you out. You type that in and you will have a field day, Mr. Lake.
Great. German autopsies. I'm putting it down. Screw Netflix tonight. Never mind me Amazon Prime Tottenham Hotspur documentary. I know right where I'm going. TRA on 133353. Hello.
Yeah, hi. Pretty similar to you. I was the one that was left to babysit my little sisters. So had free reign of the TV, yes. And I just kind of remember a few crazy ones. Like there was a Japanese one, I think it was. It was Female Ninja Chronicle, where they had such moves as like poisonous acid breast milk, and I think it was like poisonous vagina bubbles that would shoot out and kill their enemies.
Well, it's a great defence mechanism. And you wouldn't have that airing on your mainstream Channel 7s, and it's always been Channel 9's downfall that they don't have acid vagina content.
Is it a downfall?
And it was all done so seriously. Like, they were just, they had such, like, all of the battle faces, everything. It was just, you wouldn't have thought that that was what was going on. Like, you would have thought it was just going to be kung fu, but no. poison breast milk.
And I've always said the most creative of minds are the Japanese hentai creators who work at SBS.
Definitely, tentacles and all.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you haven't lived until you've downloaded a good old tentacle session.
Yeah, exactly. But
good on you, TRA. Graham on 133353, late night SBS memory.
Oh, mate, look, not so much SBS, but, like, I used to watch a lot of SBS. I'm 48, and, I used to watch a lot of Rage back in the day.
Oh, more of an ABC kind of guy.
Yeah, and you'd get, like, honestly, some of the early film clips you'd get were pretty raunchy, and you'd see a lot of things as a kid that I shouldn't have seen, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And between 2 a.m. and 5 a.m, I found that was when Rage was at its most sauciest. And then you go 6 a.m. and all of a sudden it's blurred back out. I remember Lenny Kravitz's Fly Away. A chick would lift up her top and it was blurred out to all high heaven.
Yeah, no, well, it wasn't. Well, that sort of shit was when you were watching it. Sorry, my language. but, yeah. Like, seriously, back in the day, you'd see a lot of things that you shouldn't have seen as a kid.
Yeah, no, it was good fun. It was real good fun, wasn't it, Lee? It was nothing worse than going on watching Rage at like 8 a.m. on a Saturday morning, and then the video clip was too rude for the TV, so it would just be that, Rage, 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 and I'm just there fuming as an 11-year-old going, show me the breasts. Show me those breasts. Rage! Good memories. Lee, in Brisbane, on 133353. Wrap this up. What's your late-night SBS memory?
Mate, there was this a French movie, and it was about these five French chefs who had become disillusioned with their craft, and they decided to eat themselves to death. So they rented this big chateau, and they had a waitress there, and you know, they would cook for each other, and you know, try and